Well, hey, I hope that you're doing well today. I want to welcome those of you online as well. We think about the labels that we have in life. Maybe it's funny guy, maybe it's mom or dad or athletic or whatever it is that they can be real powerful. And one label that big companies have spent a lot of money, $150 billion this year, would be to say that we are deficient in one area or another. And often this is so we would buy something. And you think about it, we always want more. Like one example is this last yesterday, there was a lottery. And it was Powerball, the second biggest jackpot ever, about $600 million. And people, even though the chances are, I think you're more likely to get struck twice by lightning than to win, we do it because it sort of gives a chance to daydream. And in fact, they did a little payout. The payout on this will be in a lump sum if you want it. If you, one person won it, was it you? It will be $379,600,000 after taxes. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Yeah. So let's say you're a good person and you're faithful and you're going to tithe on that. Let me help you out a little bit. That'll be $341,640,000 for you. So this would be good for the church because that would be $37,960,000. Unless I won, because, you know, I'm a pretty generous person. I'd do about double. And so if that happened, the church would get $75,920,000 and a new pastor. I'm just kidding. I just tithe, so it'd only be the $37 million. No, I come back, you know, when I'm not in Aruba. Every single time we open a newspaper, every time we turn the channel on TV, there's this idea is that I'm not quite right unless I get this. And it's really a matter of perspective. We know that. Maybe you've heard this before, a letter that a college girl wrote to her parents after her first semester at college. She said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I have so much to tell you, but because of the fire in the dorm room, I had to go to the hospital. While I was there, I met someone who had a gunshot wound he received in a gang fight. Long story about the gang fight he was in, but I have to tell you about it some other time. At any rate, we moved in together. I dropped out of school when I found out I was pregnant. I thought my boyfriend was going to support me, but unfortunately, he got fired because of his drinking. And so we're going to move to Alaska where we might get married after the birth of the baby. It was signed, Your Loving Daughter. P.S. None of this really happened, but I did flunk chemistry class and wanted you to keep it in perspective." Yeah, perspective is a powerful tool. And as Americans, it can be hard for us to get perspectives. Now, we look at it as global, but I'm going to try to keep it local. I mean, think about it. People who live below the poverty level in America, 97% have a television. 62% have more than one TV. 70% have air conditioning. I don't even have air conditioning. 63% have cable. And so the real question for us as we look at perspective, especially when it comes to resources, is what is a want and what is a need? So help me out a little bit. So if I said food, three meals a day, is that a want or a need? It's a need, right? This is not a trick question. You need to eat. Shelter from the elements, want or a need? Need. Okay, here's education for your children, a want or a need? Want? Now, some people would say need too. And a computer, a want or a need? Yeah, okay, need, some said a need. Seeing the new Star Trek movie. Need. Yeah, that's clear. Seeing Great Gatsby. Waste of $10. No, a DVR. Want or need? Need. No, that's a need. I just want to let you know. Because my wife likes to watch different shows than I do, like the Gilmore Girls. She likes to watch that, and I like to feel like a man, so I don't. And so it's really a need in our household. And we think about this. In 1950, the average American home was 1,000 square feet. Today, it's over 2,000 square feet. But the size of our families have actually gotten smaller. And that's not big enough because we have now all the storage facilities. Do you know that there are 7 times the number of storage facilities that there are Starbucks in America? That's a shame. That's what that is. And you think about what these facilities are, usually cinder block 10, no bathrooms, obviously. And much of the world lives in something like that. And I don't say this to make you feel guilty at all. In fact, I'm going to talk about getting this in biblical perspective. But it's just a perspective when it comes to what I have and what I don't have. Here's usually what we do is we don't know how are we really doing. There's one of four places you're going to find yourself today. And so where are you at with money? One, it could be struggling. That you would say, you know, Ben, I cannot pay the bills every month. And with that, you'll notice on the connection card, we have some resources for you to help you out. Part of being a church family is being a family. So in many different ways, we want to come beside you. And then there would be stable. So what does stable look like? I can tell you statistically, stable in America means you make $52,730 a year for your family. That's a median household income. Half the people in the country make less. Half the people in the country make more. Now, if you're single and you're making that much, that's probably, you probably feel like you have some extra money. If you have five kids and you make that much, you probably feel like you're eating out of garbage cans. And so that's sort of where you're at. And then there's solid. So solid is, yeah, not only do I have enough money, is that if I lost my job, I would be able to survive for a number of months and maybe put in a little bit of money for retirement. And you're in that sort of solid category. And then there's the next one, surplus. See, not only is there money for education and for retirement and for the needs, but I really find myself with a little bit of extra in life. So why do we even talk about this? It's because 15% of the words that Jesus spoke that we have recorded in the Bible have to do with financial resources. And so it's really important to take a look at that. In fact, right now, let's take out some money. Let's go ahead and do that. I want everyone to go ahead and pull out. If you have a dollar or quarters or whatever, take out some money. Go ahead. I will wait. I'm talking to you. So go ahead and take out some money. Get comfortable with it. Everyone, just take out some money. If you don't have any money, that means you have children. So so take out your money, and now pass it forward to me. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. You know, interesting statistic about money. Do you know that 42% of the money in your wallet has disease-laden bacteria on it? Your money is sick, and it didn't even tell you that it's sick. So you think about that, and what? Here's a question I would ask when you look at the money. Now, I had a $5 bill because my daughters haven't found it yet. Is I'm not even kidding on this one. So what is what do you think is a value that people attached to this? It went through thousands of hands. What kind of value do you ascribe to this? What have you given up in pursuit of this? What kind of anxieties has it caused? And here's a question I want to focus on is how much do I really need? Now, that's not an easy answer. That is not an easy answer. When we look to the Bible, if you'll take your outlines out of your program, there's some perspective in this. The nation of Israel, God blessed this little nation. And he said in Genesis 12, this isn't in your outline, but we'll look at it later. I've blessed you so you will be a blessing. But God knew that just giving general instructions would not be enough for his people. And so he gives them these instructions. You probably never heard this talked about in a context of what it means to be blessed. Leviticus 23:22. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Now, this is hard for us agricultural context. How many of you are farmers? No one? No one? You usually have someone driving in from Clealum or some place like that. But so none of us are farmers, but the idea is your wealth is in your land. And then it says, leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. Now, this is really important to understand this. So if you look at what God's saying, the wealth was in what crops they would have. Now, when they received their crops, about 25% of it would go away. they had a sort of a flat tax system there. They'd give about 15% to the government. They'd give about 10% to the church, their temple. So that was it. But then beyond that, he says, when you have your field, even though you could take every single thing and use everything, I want you to leave some. And why did God want them to leave it? Now, this is very interesting. If you say, hey, I'm just checking out Christianity, this is a significant distinguisher between Christianity and other religions and worldviews. Because it says, and leave them for who? The foreigner. For the person who's not even of your culture, they may not even share your faith, but you're, because I blessed you so much, I want you to take some and leave it because so it would be a blessing to them and to the poor. I was talking to someone who goes to our church. I mean, it's probably no surprise if you've been to any of the services. The church has changed radically, and people from different parts of the world and ethnicities, talking to one of the Indonesian families that comes here. And this person was describing, he grew up Muslim area. And he said, when devastation hit Indonesia, the thing that really caught his attention and made him think about following Christ was the people who came to help. And he said, it wasn't even the people who shared my own faith. It was Christians who came to help. And I couldn't understand why they would help us, but it caught my attention. And I thought there must be something different. And then that began his spiritual journey. See, that has been a distinguisher all along, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Yes, in our own families. Yes, in our own church. But well beyond that, because of what God has done for us. Now, you might say, well, okay, should I feel bad about what I have? No, look at this. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So Christianity, again, a distinguisher, especially from some other religions, especially some Eastern religions and worldviews, is material stuff is not bad. It's seen as a blessing from God. In fact, it says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. And now that doesn't mean you're following Jesus because you have wealth. It just means that whatever I have is a blessing from God. And now, so why am I establishing this? That God is the blesser. Because a lot of you, a lot of us, you have dissatisfaction when it comes to finances. Or there's really no impact. You feel like when I look at the end of my life, I'm not making an impact beyond myself. So the perspective of the result of losing perspective of God's blessing, here's the issue. Is number one, we lack gratitude. If we don't understand everything we have is from God, we lack gratitude. And we'll start to have an entitlement mentality. You don't like entitlement mentality, do you? Notice when someone says, they owe me this. But when I realize that everything I have is a gift, that God speaks to the nation of Israel. He says, but remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And some of you say, hey, I'm doing well in life. It's because I'm smart. I don't deny that. But who made you smart? See, who allowed us to be in the place that we're in today? It comes from God directly or indirectly. In fact, King David, when he's dedicating the extravagant temple, he says this in the Old Testament. He says, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given to you only what comes from your hand. So we're not really grateful if we don't understand God as a blesser. And two, we're never content. We're never content. It's like my buddy Dave Nelson told me the story. He may have told you the story too. But of a guy traveling on an airplane, and there's two kids are causing just a terrible ruckus. And in that, people are giving the dirty looks because they're like, hey, I paid a lot of money for this flight. And the mom just is not able to control the kids. Whole atmosphere change when a man turns around and he says loud enough where people can hear. He says, you know what? I wish I had two kids. People are like, oh, gosh. And then finally someone says, what's the matter? Aren't you able to have kids? He goes, no, I have five kids. I just wish I had two kids. So So sort of like a buddy of mine described, because I have two kids, he has three. I said, what's the difference? He said, well, it's like you're in a lake drowning, and then someone hands you another crying baby. perspective is an important thing. And contentment has to do with are you content? Are you grateful? The Apostle Paul says this, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. See, here's the problem if we're not content. Now, I'm trying to speak to a broad group of people here. By the way, if you're not even a Christian, you can apply these principles. It'd be amazing for your life. See, if we're not content because of the society we live in, do you know what we can do? Is you can take the wealth, the money you will earn in the future, and you can pull it into your present. Do you know that you can do that? And so what happens is you take all this money that you know you're going to earn in the future, and you say, hey, this is great. I'm going to spend it in the present. And so you maybe spend it on a car or clothes, vacation, or whatever. And then what do we call that? We call that debt. And in the Bible, and by the way, there's a difference between debt and investment. If you owe money on an appreciating asset, that's investment. You guys already know this. But by the way, a car is not an appreciating asset. Just want to let you know that. And so we have this problem, and debt is never looked at as a positive thing in the Bible. It says in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the credit card company. That's what it would say today. And it says, and you will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. Isn't that? Now, so the interesting thing that I have observed, being a pastor now for over 20 years, is that your amount of income, by and large, unless you have an exceptionally high income or an exceptionally low income, has very little to do with this. For example, I met someone, actually was going to buy a home from him. He had spent his whole career as a school custodian. I don't know what the pay rate is for a school custodian, but that's what he had done his whole life. I imagine that he made enough to live on, but probably not a super high salary, but that's what he did for a living. As he retired, this was in Santa Barbara where I pastored, he was able to use his money in such a way where he had a home paid off, and he also owned 16 other homes in Santa Barbara and 5 in Santa Maria. By the way, do you know what real estate is worth in Santa Barbara? Yeah, so a lot of money. So the interesting thing is he didn't have a super high income, but he had an incredibly high net worth because he had learned to tell his money where to go. Now, some of you are really good at telling people where to go. Have you learned to tell your money where to go? See, that's a principle of life, contentment and gratitude beyond that, is we tell our money where to go. In fact, when it comes to the nation of Israel, Deuteronomy 28:12, it says, you'll lend to many nations, but borrow from none. See, the problem is we can develop a pride or a poverty mentality. Now, if we don't see God's blessing, we gravitate towards one to the other. Now, look at this guy. This guy's a pride guy. He had a big bumper crop. He made a lot of money. And he said this. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, and by the way, when you start talking to yourself, there's probably other issues you're dealing with as well. And he says, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, now you got to listen carefully because otherwise you're going to probably misunderstand what I say. What is his problem? Is it that he had wealth? Is it that he saved? Neither. Is that he did not see it at God as the blesser, and he thought that everything he had was just for himself. He couldn't see the needs around him. See, when a pride mentality says, I deserve more, and a poverty mentality says, I deserve less. By the way, if you grew up in the church, you might have a bit of a poverty mentality. Because sometimes it's like, if I have nice things, then that's a really bad thing. That's not true at all. It's what you're doing with what you have. See, a pride mentality, we can get this, that I deserve it. You owe me more. And so you buy a new house and someone will compliment you and you say, hey, I'm going to get a bigger house. Poverty mentality, you buy a new car and you're like, yeah, well, you know, this is my first new car in 30 years and all of that. And see, a biblical mentality would say this. It says it doesn't care what other people think. You care what God thinks. And so that is, God's blessed me more than I deserve. See, another reality is we never truly become generous if we don't understand everything's come from God. If you look in the mirror and you're blinded to God's blessings, you might say, I don't have much, so I can't give much, or all I have is for me. And either is probably a problem for you. It says in Acts 20:35, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And then I referenced this earlier, Genesis 12:2. God saying to the nation of Israel, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great and you will be a blessing. You know what's sort of interesting? I did some research on this. And I don't think this is, by the way, true at Timberlake Church. But my guess is our area, because there's a social consciousness in Seattle, one of the things I really love about this area, that we would be more generous than most. But on a percentage basis, do you know that that we give 35% less than the average? Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't think that's probably true of most people who are here today. But see, oftentimes I think I'm doing better than I really am. And that's because we need to be intentional about how we deal with it. See, if we have a pride mentality, you might operate out of fear. And you're always afraid that something's going to happen. Or a poverty mentality, you'll become cynical. By the way, I'm not looking at anyone. I'm not, you know, I didn't, check with the IRS what you made last year or anything like that. But cynical people are never generous people. Because they're always trying to, it's sort of an excuse for not being generous. And so, but just, that's okay. But just say, you know, hey, if I'm cynical, I know I'm not going to probably be a real generous person. But see, it's that attitude we need to look at. See, the warning is our blessings will become a curse if we don't learn to manage them. If God blesses you with a child and you never train them or discipline them, they will control you. Have you ever been around people who've never said no to their children? Not a pretty sight. If God blesses you with health, but you continually abuse your body with bad habits, you lose your health. So how do we manage our blessings? And again, like I said, if you're a Christ follower, you'll apply this one way. If not, you'll apply it another way. Here's a good way to tell your money where to go. First give, do this first. If you're a Christian, you say, I give my first to church I worship at, and that's where I'm going to give. And then maybe give beyond that as well. I know my wife and I do as well. Second, you save. And third, you live on the rest. Well, what's the purpose of this? Is this just because God's some diva that he wants to control us? See, money is an issue of control. The purpose of giving is, number one, it's an act of worship and a reminder that everything belongs to God. For us as a church, when people give, most of the giving comes in online or through the mail, which is great. From an accounting perspective, that is amazing. But the reason we still do an offering, people said, well, why do you do the offering in the service? Is it because you get more money? Probably there's not a big financial difference. You know what the difference is? It's saying, we worship you, Jesus, with our songs and with our prayers, and even with our financial resources, even if you're not putting something in the plate, it's an act of worship to God. And two, it teaches us to trust God. It says in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe in storehouse, and see there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there'll not be enough room to store it. Now, here's a verse that can often be misconstrued, that sometimes people will say, so if I tithe, is God going to make me rich? Not necessarily, But there's a blessing of some sort. It may be financial. It may not be at all. And what we do is we encourage you to check this out. That's why we have it, and we have one of the options again today, 90-day tithe challenge. Not a pressure thing. And in fact, if you do the tithe challenge, we say at the end of 90 days, if there's no spiritual benefit to you, call the church bookkeeper, and she'll give you the money back. And you say, has anyone ever done this? Yes. Who? Well, let me name him. I don't know. Because, I can't speak to you with integrity if I'm that deep in it. You get what I'm saying? See, what I want to do is speak to you integrity and say yes to Jesus in this area. Say, if you've said no before, some of you have and you've gotten off track, that's okay, but you do it. And if you want to delay it is like starting your diet on Monday. You know what that's like, right? You get a body like mine. You're laughing at me. That's wonderful. But what happens is, so I would encourage you, try it. And it's about giving. It's saying, God, I want to put you first. Now, if you're not a Christian, you wouldn't give 10% to a church. But I encourage you still to be generous. You know that there are needs in our community, in our world? There are people who desperately need help. See, we all can apply this no matter where we're at spiritually. And number three, it invites more of God's blessing in our life. A generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. And look at what it says in 2 Corinthians. In fact, I'll just read through this. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion. If you feel pressure, don't. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit, do. For God loves a cheerful giver. What I've always found really interesting, and some of you give, which is great, but you're not a follower of Christ yet. And see, I give out of response because Jesus Christ has given me everything. He's given me forgiveness for my sin, past, present, and future. He's given me a better way to live. He's given me purpose in my life and a home in heaven. And no one should ever have to control you, but it's an invitation to participate in the blessings of God. And it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. So let me end with something that you probably don't expect me to end with. Here are some problems if you decide to become a giver. Here are some reasons not to become a giver. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that. Just give. Just kidding. When, number one, you can't have everything you want if you're a giver. For some of you, you can. But you can't have everything you want if you're a giver. Two, you can't have everything you can afford. If you're a giver, I know people who could afford, but they say, you know, God's work is such a priority in my life. And I don't know what that means to you. Maybe that means you can't go to Starbucks every day.
Well, let's not get crazy here.
But, you know, whatever it means. And three, you might have to tell your money where to go. And so, see, part of this is restoring financial sanity to our lives. So we can responsibly say, God, I live my life with an open hand because of what you've given me. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 8:7, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, we have kindled to you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. One of the things we've done as a church over the last 5 years, if you've been with us since I've been able to lead this church, is the church had found itself in a place of financial trouble, and we sort of dug out of that. We did the whole spend less than we take in. And now what we've determined is that we want to be very generous. Even though we use your general offering, your tithes, that's why that's so important here, because we're not going to do special offering every week. We only do really one a year. Is that we've determined we want to be a blessing around the world and in our local community. And so right now, we're at a level that I think it was about 20% last year, which is a pretty good level going outside. And one of the things we're doing this year is we're partnering with an urban mission down in Tacoma, in an area that's probably one of the most challenging areas. And so what I would invite you, I invite you to keep on giving. Please be faithful in that. But maybe you'd say, I not only want to give, I might even be willing to go. And so I just want to give you a little bit of information on that, and then I'll come back up, receive the connection cards and the offering.